If we can close the door in the back. Could you close the door, Loretta? Or yeah. Keep all the air we can inside, all the fresh air. Good morning.
Good morning.
So it's crazy. It seems like I've been away for weeks. I just left Monday, came back Saturday, and it just seems like so much longer. And I haven't even missed a Sunday, which is amazing. It's always so nice to come home, I must say. Loretta and I were at home yesterday, and although the trip went amazing, we were so glad to be home. Although Jonathan was saying, can we move to England? So just before we get started, I want to mention the conference this week. Number one is we would need some people to get together with Loretta and Nicole about, no, was it Nicole or Anwar? Loretta and Anwar about childcare. We need some a couple people to help with the childcare. If you ask and you get a no, it's okay. It's because they got people. But please talk to them about it if you would like to help with it. We have an amazing group of men coming to share with us. Peter Will has been a friend for years since 6 months after I became a Christian. And he's become like a dad. He's got an incredible story of his life, of a life of just wasting his life, and also just the sinfulness of his life was just out of this world. I don't even think he likes to talk about it. But then just how wonderfully the Lord redeemed him and how everything he was involved with, he was able to reverse. He's been involved in starting a mission, helping the helpless in India. There were, but it was more of a practical ministry that would share the gospel after the fact, but it was just helping those that were dying on the streets, some people with wounds open, with maggots eating them, that nobody would help them because of karma. And Peter Will was moved with compassion, and he moved there, he lived there, and his son got sick, which actually he's in the hospital right now with very serious heart problems. And then when his son got sick, they moved back. And he began to serve 6 months in India. 6 months was living at home with his family, pastoring a church. And from there, he turned the mission over after several years. And now it's a mission running on with the Lord, with different leadership, still helping people all over India. He's amazing when he shares with, I can't think of anybody that shares the life of Jesus in a more transparent way that he does, and how he gets teary. I mean, Jesus just comes forth in such a beautiful way in his life as he explains them. Then you have Bill Gallatin. So he's sort of like, Peter is older, he's in his 60s, Bill is in his 70s, and he's sort of like a bit of a spiritual father to Peter, which is strange because you would think an older man like that would need a spiritual father, but Bill, there is someone yet older. And he is incredible. The man, he was used to change my life, to be honest. He's got a series that we have in cassette here called, I forgot what it's called. But anyway, it's the life of Abraham, the life of Peter, the life of Elijah, the life of Samson. That series changed my life. And he's going to teach the life of Abraham on Friday in the evening. So I'm so excited for that. And then he's teaching Sunday morning, and I'm not really sure what he's going to teach on that day. And then we have Thomas Powell, who is my dad, my mom's pastor over in Virginia Beach. And he's known to you guys. He was here a couple of years ago, and he shared at the conference, and he's going to be teaching. So I would strongly encourage all of you to bring friends to come and make sure that you're here on, you know, just to enjoy the teaching with us. We'll offer a little bit of food on Saturday in the middle of some sandwiches, and in the evening we're going to have a barbecue. All right? So we sang a song, "The Cross Before Me, the World Behind Me, No Turning Back." And sometimes we sing songs like that and it's just crazy, yeah, because they sound so nice and we sort of like, the cross before me, the world behind me. And it's just so easy to sing, so difficult to live. And we need to make sure that we understand when we say the cross before me, the cross is not only what Jesus did, but it's also what we take up. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. And as we seek to follow the Lord Jesus, there are certain things that become a cross. You know, you choose to follow Jesus and you say, you know, I'm no longer going to do these things, but I'm going to live like this. And people start looking at you and say, well, aren't you silly? Why are you living like that? Why? You don't have to do that. And in a sense, people ridicule you and me for living in a particular way. Well, that's our cross. Sometimes we get sunk by the peer pressure. When we serve the Lord, when we want to serve Him, and people sort of ridicule, like they ridiculed Noah. Why are you building an ark? Well, you know, I just want to serve Jesus. That ridicule that people put upon us, that's the cross of our life in many ways. It is not the circumstances of life necessarily, but it is that that comes upon us because of our desire and our willingness to serve Jesus. And I think that is the beauty when we realize that, and when we realize that the choices that we've made to follow Jesus have its blessings but have its consequences. When we realize that those consequences are the cross, then we're able to say, you know what? Who cares what's happening to me? Because after all, Christ is enough for me. And we, as we sing, you know, I was challenged because sometimes we can sing songs and I can sing the melody and I'm in love with the melody and not so much the content. I was telling somebody this week, I was saying, you know, sometimes worship, we turn worship into nostalgia. We just because we were raised in a Christian environment, we just love the songs that we used to sing or that our parents used to sing. And we're like, oh, we love that one. But we don't really think about the text of those songs. And we're not to be nostalgic. We need to be walking by faith and moving forward in reality with Jesus. So just an encouragement. And at this time, if you turn your Bibles to Haggai. I know. We're going to take a little break from Revelation. And until 2 weeks from today. Yeah, we're in Haggai this week. Next week, Bill Gallatin's going to be teaching. So he won't be teaching in Revelation. And when we come back, we'll continue in Revelation. No, I'm not joking. Do I ever joke, Julie? So, just briefly, to give a bit of an introduction to Haggai, it's, you know, Haggai's a man that is quite amazing to me. He had a ministry that was less than a year old. Can you imagine God calls you into the ministry for a year? And then you just continue doing what you used to do. And that was the ministry of Haggai. It was a short-lived ministry, yet it was a very effective ministry. What happens is that Judah was coming back to the land of Israel, to Jerusalem. And it came back in three waves. And remember, they had been taken by Nebuchadnezzar, and they were taken away with hooks. They were taken away shamefully. And you remember that psalm, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and we wept as we remembered Zion. The temple was destroyed. Everything was lost. The worship that they had was completely lost. And they spent 70 years in captivity in Babylon. The Lord told them that they would be judged for 70 years because of their idolatry. And then Jeremiah said, after that period of time, the Lord will bring Israel, Judah, back to their land. And Daniel was reading that, and he was strengthened by it all. And people began to realize what God was doing, and they began to move back into the promised land, and they began to move back into the restoration of the worship of Israel, of the God of Israel. And what happened is, and remember, when they went to Babylon, the Lord told them to build houses and settle, not to fight, but to pray actually for the land. Pray for the leadership there so they would live peaceably. But the time came where they had to go back, and at one point when they get back into the land, they begin to build the temple. Remember, the temple for the Jews was the place where people worshiped. I mean, it was a super important thing to build. For us, if this building was broken down, who cares? At the end of the day, where two or three are gathered, he's with us. That is a church. The church is not the building, it is the people. But in those days, the place of worship was a geographical location. And it was this temple. So they went back, and as they were building the temple, you know what happened? The governing authorities of the land, which are not Jews, actually told them, you have to stop. You have to stop the work. So the people said, all right, we'll stop. If the law says we stop, we stop. And then they actually began to build their houses. They began to build their homes. And you know what? They began to, like we do, we like to get our houses set up nicely. I like a home, don't you? I mean, you like your pictures up there. You like your desk. You like your things wherever you want. This is your home. And you would think that everything's okay because the law said stop the work. What else can we do? And listen to what the prophet Haggai says to the people. Thus speaks, verse 2, the Lord of hosts, saying to this people, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple lie in ruins? Isn't that amazing? The people were saying, the law said, the governing authority said we can't build. So therefore, the time has not come because after all, if God wanted us to do this thing, everything would be smooth sailing. Sometimes we can have that mentality. If God really wants us to do this thing, it would be smooth sailing. And yet, here we see that the rebuke of God to the people was, man, you have time to build your houses. How can you just be living in your nicely organized houses while the house of the Lord lies in ruins? How can you just rest in that? How can you just rest? To put it in the words of Jesus, I would say like this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. It is oftentimes a trap in our life that we would seek our personal welfare above the welfare of the church of Jesus Christ. And here's a rebuke. And look what it says here. You have sown much in verse 6 and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put them into a bag of with holes. And the prophet Haggai says to him, look, you know, you keep working, and it seems like you never have enough. You never have enough. You have pockets with holes. You guys ever feel like that? They asked Rockefeller, how much money does a man need to be happy? And Rockefeller said, just a little bit more. And sometimes we might not be financially wanting, but there's a restlessness. We sow, but it's just never enough. It's never enough. A lack of peace, a lack of joy, even a lack of sustenance. For these people, it was like that. And thus says the Lord of hosts, verse 7, consider your ways, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build a temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but you indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away, says the Lord of hosts. And here, literally what the prophet is saying is deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. Go to the mountains, go get wood and get working on building the temple. I want to share this in a very positive light, but I also want to be able to share this in an exhortation. We have a lot of hard-working people in this church. I mean, we really do. There's ministries, and I must say that there's many areas I have no problem. I don't have to worry anything about. But there are some areas that sometimes I just kind of wonder, why is it that we struggle in this area when we have so much talent in this area? I'll give you one example of something that I believe that we could be doing much better and we are really struggling. I've said it often, the website of the church and the school is the front door. It's the front door to this church. People don't go try out churches anymore by walking into them. People go to churches nowadays by going to the website. They even listen to teaching for months before they actually enter into a church. We have people that have come to this church and they're like, hi, how you doing, Raphael? And I'm like, have I ever met you? And they feel like I feel sometimes with some pastors. It's like I feel like I know them through and through, and they barely know my name. And I'm like, and they're like, how is that? It's like, well, I've been listening to you for a year, you know. I know what happened to you in 1943, I don't know, whatever. But you just know people. And sometimes, honestly, I feel like with the website here, we have such an incredible, talented few people that could do the website. And I feel like we're wanting in that area. I feel like we have people that are very, they have great organizational skills. And you see how things get organized for all this stuff, and yet when it comes to doing things at church, I feel like sometimes that we don't have that. I mean, we have it to some degree, but not to the degree that I know that we could do it, the potential. Now, obviously, not everyone can do everything, but there's a place, I think, for improvement in this area. And I feel like I'm just going to be really blunt. At one point, I was joking because we have James here. He does websites, and I'm pointing my finger at him right now. No, I'm just kidding. But we had Jimmy, and he was getting married. And Jimmy's getting and don't get me wrong. Why not provide for your website for the wedding? And James is very gifted. And Jimmy's so enthusiastic about getting his wedding website up, and he's planning it, and he's working with James. And I joke with Jimmy, and half joked, obviously, and I said, Jimmy, why don't you do this for church? And you know, I think it should be a bit challenging to us, and we're all to some degree guilty. We are so concerned about our personal things, the things of our interest, but are we concerned about the things of where God has placed us? God has placed you here. God has placed you here for this time and for this place. Not just for the job that you do, but for what God wants to do in Mallorca in 2014. For what he wants to do in 2015. God is doing a work in Mallorca, and he wants us to be a part of it. Isn't that amazing? And I'm just using the website as an illustration, but I mean, there's other areas. You know, there's the homeless ministry that was started. I think that's amazing how that's going on. I think the street angels with Cameron, I mean, he's got this thing and running with it. And I think it's amazing that people are involved with these things. But I'll tell you what I struggle most, that there are organizational things where I am not gifted at all in this church. And some of you guys are very gifted in it. And we find ourselves barely above water. And I don't know exactly who, and I don't know exactly how. But I believe that to some degree, the word of the Lord should come to us. Is it time for you to dwell in your paneled houses while the house of the Lord lies in ruins? I want to bless you. I want to establish the place of worship. I want the gifts of God to be used in this place for the purposes that I have. And notice what it says in chapter 2. It says, in the seventh month, on the 21st month of the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is it not in your eyes as nothing? Now, this is amazing to me. This God spoke this scripture to me very personally. You see, when I served in London, to me, the London church where I served was the ideal place to be in the world. I love that ministry. I felt like I was in Antioch with the Apostle Paul, with Barnabas, with Silas, because we had a group. Dave Shirley was there, Brian Broderson, Rob Digman, you had Jeff, you had MOD, Ephraim, Patrick, and Robert. You have great guys who we were all serving together, praying together. We would all be involved in ministry. And when I came here, guys, the average age of the church was at least average, just 70 years old. The youth group was around 50. And that was Marlene. And to be honest, there were times where I just thought, what in the world did I get myself into? What in the world did I get myself into? We struggle sometimes. We struggle with the fact there was a charity shop. You know, there, not because of charity. I just thought, to me, there was other aspects of ministry that I really would have loved to have had. But you know what? What kept me here? You know one verse that kept me here? Was this one. Do not look at the temple in its former glory. Don't look back at what the temple looked like in the time of Solomon. Don't look back at the ministry where you were before. And I tell you what, a lot of times, guys, you guys do it too. I used to think all the times of London, and I don't know how many times I hear, in my church where I come from, we used to do it like this. See, I love having somebody like Anna. She's just become a Christian a few months ago. She's been growing and stuff. But she's got no clue what her previous church is. This is all she knows. But some of you guys who have a lot of history, you're probably more the high maintenance people. Because I have to tell you guys, hey, just chill. Enjoy what God is doing here now. Jesus is not the God of yesterday. He's the God of today. What's he doing in your life today here? How does God want to use you here? And the temptation is to look at the former days. I used to experience this stuff, or that pastor used to do things like that, or those people. I used to have a singles group, or I used to have this thing or that thing. Well, you know what? When you first arrived there, maybe it wasn't all you wanted, but eventually, you know, you began to love it and appreciate. Do not look at the former temple in its glory, because here it says the latter glory will be better. And I think there's a beautiful way of looking to the future and saying, you know what, with Jesus, it always gets better. It might not be circumstantially better, but I can tell you this, it is intrinsically better, always. There is a deeper experience of Jesus. There's a deeper fellowship with people. It's just a very wonderful experience. And you know what? God does not have you somewhere else. He has you here. And the worst thing you could be living for is for the past or for the future and miss the present. People can miss the present blessings because of looking for something, some ministry in the future, because of some ministry in the past. And you could miss what God wants to do in the present. Wouldn't that be a tragedy? I have a mug that doesn't even work anymore. It's cracked. And it was given to me by Cheryl. You ladies read the book, When a Woman Lets Go of Her Fears, in the women's club. And she gave me that cup because she knew I loved it so much. And you know what it says on it? Bloom where God plants you. Where are you today? Maybe it's not as trendy as you would like it to be. Maybe it's not as traditional as you would like it to be. Maybe the pastor's not what you would like him to be. But you know what? God's put us here for such a time as this. And we could either waste our time or we can enjoy our time. And notice what it says. It says, yet now, be strong. Look at verse 4 of chapter 2. Be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. And be strong, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord. And work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake the heaven and earth and sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with my glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. And I want to focus really quickly on this exhortation to Zerubbabel and Joshua. It says, be strong. It's a word of instruction. Be strong, work, believe. And 2:4. How do we become strong? How do we become strong as we serve in this church? How should we serve in this church? What is the best thing we can do? And this goes for me, this goes for you. The best way that we can be a blessing to this church is for us to be in the Word of God for ourselves. I don't think that this should be a place where you guys come on Sundays and learn everything that I have to teach you guys. That is nothing from, there's nothing further from the truth. That is not Christianity. Christianity is people that are actually in the Word for themselves. They know God. They read. They spend time with Him. And then you come to church and you just simply fellowship, and we open one chapter and we do it in a different way, and you're able to go, oh, wow, yeah, I didn't see that, but I see this. Oh man, maybe I'm interpreting this wrong and that. But it's an addition. The same thing goes with our kids. You know, some people think it's like, okay, it's the church's job to educate the kids. It's not the church's job to educate the kids. It's the parents' job to educate the kids. And then they come and participate of children's ministry. But the best gift that you can give to the Santa Ponsa Community Church in Mallorca is to be in the Word for yourselves. Is to be praying. I tell you, some of the messages that have impacted you more, you the most at church, I know, because you said, oh man, that really hit me. And, or there's people crying and I'm just like, what happened today here, you know? It's like, what in the world happened? Some of those messages, I knew they were going to go like that. I knew they were going to go like that before I taught it. You know how? When we were in the prayer meeting before church, people were praying and I could sense the things being prayed for that I was going to share on. And there was a confidence in me that it is what God wanted you to hear here. Do you pray for this ministry? I'm sure you do. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage me to be people of prayer. Nancy Sylvester just said to Loretta, when she met Jonathan, everyone was like, oh, Jonathan is so cute. And Nancy said, so are you praying for his wife? And we're like, no, Hannah Molly's already there, you know. Just kidding. But you know what? Nancy is a person that prays. And she will pray. And if you saw her daughters married to godly men, and if you thought that since they were little, she prayed for the husband that would come. And you know what? They have godly husbands. Not the fruit of good choice, but the fruit of prayer. Isn't that amazing? But then the other thing, one of the things, how we can be strong is, one, to be in prayer, to be in the Word of God. But you know the third blessing that you can bring to this church in order to be a strong member of this church, a strong person in this church, is to be in fellowship. What does that mean? It means you are with other Christians. You pray together. You read together. You share your concerns. I mean, Anwar and James, they, at one point, I don't know if they're still doing it, they would text each other, what have you been reading? You know, and they would talk about the things that they have been reading every day together in fellowship. You know what? One of the tactics of the devil in our life to make us weak is to alienate us. He is a roaring lion. He is like a tiger. And you know what these vicious creatures do? They isolate the weaker prey away from the rest. And then sometimes, you know how he does it? You get offended. Somebody says something you don't like at church, and you're like, well, at that church, they're not loving. I'm not going to go to that church again. I'm just going to be my own Christian, and I'm going to fellowship with the Lord directly. Baloney. Christians don't fellowship alone. We are creatures made to fellowship with God and with one another. And we are to be together in fellowship. I believe you should have some people, not everybody, because we know people talk, But at least some people that you're able, one or two people that you're able to be completely transparent with, but not people that will pamper you, people that would actually love you. That you're able to share, look, I'm struggling with this thing, I'm struggling with that thing, or I have these desires, but you should be people of fellowship. We should be. And then in the Lord, you know, we should realize that there's going to be attacks and we should be strong in the Lord. But that is how to be strong. How? The greatest blessing you can be is to be a person that is strong in the Lord. Remember when David's men thought of stoning him? One of the greatest scriptures, the greatest verses in the Bible is where it says that his best buddies, his 300 men, 400, or however had added by that time, it says that they were thinking, they were talking about stoning him because they have lost everything. And it says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. And then he was able to come and strengthen other people. And we need to learn how to be strong in Jesus Christ. The next thing that he says to them is, be strong. And obviously it's in the Lord. It's not just to muster up some strength. It's that strength that God gives us. But notice what it says, work. It says, be strong and work. And I don't want to just kind of, but yeah, when it talks about work, it means
serve.
Yeah, exactly. Julie, I can't believe you did that. But it means to serve. There is a temptation to become spectators at church. We come and we just say how things should be, or we become judges and spectators. Oh, that was a good one today. That wasn't so good today, was it? But the point is to be able to be strengthened to not just be strong and say, look how strong I am, but actually to serve. And how do we serve? How do we work? Well, looking for opportunities to serve. Not growing weary in doing good. Sometimes, don't you just, you're working in a particular, I can imagine in the coffee shop, I mean, that is a tough job. And sometimes people just leave and one or two people are doing dishes and you're just like, oh, I just want to give up this thing. Not growing weary in serving. Those are the practical things, but not growing weary in sowing the seed. Have you ever just been sharing the gospel with people? And you just feel like you're going nowhere with them. But the work is actually the work of a farmer, the work of an evangelist. I had something happen to me the other day. It was amazing. You know this little path to the cars? We've been here how many years? 12. How many times have I walked by this place? I mean, it's just crazy. 12 years of walking back and forth. And do you guys remember an older lady that was always sitting there on the side? Well, the other day, the ambulance came and took her away. And this family has never wanted to, it's never wanted to know anything about the Lord, really, except the son or the neighbor. I'm not sure what he is. But he must have been a drug or alcoholic or something because he knows about the evangelical rehab places. He's been in them. So he knows about it. And he was like, oh, those are the true ones, you know. And at one point when they were taking the lady away, I just gave her, I gave her a hug and I kissed her. And I said, I'm so sorry. I said, just be strong. And then a few days later, I saw her and I realized her mom had died. Her mama passed away. And she says, when you gave me that hug, it was like God telling me, it hasn't surprised me. It was time. It was the time. You know, it was just like, she was so touched. She says, you gave me that affection and it meant the world to me. And I was like, man, it's just another open, a little bit, the door is a little bit more open. in those families' lives that go that live around here. And you know what, guys? We are serving in this community that for the most part does not want to know anything about God. And you know what? We have seen people that don't want to have anything to do with God actually be transformed and belonging for God. Searching. And I've seen people visibly saying, what in the world do these people in the Santa Ponsa Community Church have that they love God? And we cannot grow weary in sowing the seed. We've been talking, Alex and I have been talking about the baptism a couple weeks ago. And we just sat there and thought, this is the fruit of years of sowing in people's lives. Years of patience in people's lives. I mean, I tell these things to people in California and say, six people got baptized. They became Christians. And they actually, they're sound. They love the Lord Jesus. And they're excited for me, but they do six people a day. We just live in a land, like they were saying at the conference, where it's like a rock, and you're just hammering the rock, and you're hammering it, and you're hammering. It seems like nothing's happening, but you know what? Something is happening. But we need to give the work. And notice what it says to Zerubbabel, says the Lord, be strong, Joshua, and all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you. Not only do we need to be strong, not only do we need to work, but we need to believe. It's like I've said in the past, you know, it's almost like we can sow sometimes without believing. We can share the gospel with people at times as is to say, oh, well, this is going to profit nothing. Why am I doing this thing? We can set up chairs and kind of, well, why am I doing this? But to have faith and trust in what God has called us to do, that He is with us. That He's with us in whatever we do. We love to walk by faith. I mean, by sight and call it faith. I do. I want to see everything rather than just trust the Lord in what He's called us to do. And there's a pessimism, there's a skepticism, there's a lack of vision at times in our lives because we do not believe what God is doing among us. We don't believe that God is among us at times. We doubt. I remember the two men that were building in St. Paul's Basilica. And one of them was building like this, you know, just like putting bricks. And they went up to him and they said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm just building a wall. And he was all grumpy about it. And then they asked another guy and he was singing away. He's like, you know, our mighty fortress is our God. And he was just building the wall. And they said to him, hey, what are you doing there? And he looked at the man and he says, I'm helping to build St. Paul's Basilica. He had vision. He knew what he was doing. And sometimes we can do children's ministry and be completely discouraged. Why am I doing this? I'm just babysitting kids at church, not realizing that we're pouring our hearts and our souls into kids' lives. Dave Shirley was talking about Loretta planning with Jackie and everybody else, planning the VBS. And Dave just says, you know what? I'm just so glad that Loretta's got vision for doing this kid camp, this VBS. I gave my life in a vacation Bible school at the age of 8. Now he's a pastor of pastors. We don't know what we have in front of us. And to realize God has put us here to trust Him, to believe. that he is working among us. One of the most revolutionary things that has happened in my life recently in sharing the gospel with people is I used to share like this. Andrew, you know, let me tell you about the Lord Jesus. You know, and I would tell him about prophecy and I would tell him about this. And I would find myself trying to convince him the whole time. And something that's happened in my heart is to realize, you know what? I just need to share with them, realizing that it's not just me sharing with them. It's the Holy Spirit working in their lives. He's with us. He is with us. He's not here today, but Hugh. Man. Hugh didn't want to come into church. Jackie was here for years at church without Hugh. I'm not going there. I want to watch Formula One. And then all of a sudden, one of his best buddies died suddenly. Boom. Gone. At the funeral, they wanted to play I Did It My Way. I think they might have, actually. Or I don't know. It's crazy. Frank Sinatra. Very colorful guy. And that day, I just spoke about the reality of life, death, God, heaven, hell. I was just very straight. And afterwards, I was so discouraged. I was like, man, maybe I shouldn't have said this. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I should have blah, 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 blah. But you know what? Two people that I know got hit. One, Hugh, which I didn't know at the time. And the other one is a barber that used to be right next to number 8. The guy was shaking in his boots. I'm still waiting for him to show up at church. But then he's reading, he's wrestling in his heart, Hugh is, with evolution and creationism, and he's reading up on it. And next thing you know, he becomes a creationist. So we give him C.S. Lewis to read and his biography and Mere Christianity, and we give him Case for Christ. And next thing you know, the guy becomes a Christian. But it wasn't just the time that he had with me or with you. It was what the Holy Spirit was doing in his life. That's the beauty of it. And let me ask you something. Do we have the confidence as we are in our jobs, as we are with our friends, as we are in our community? Do we have the confidence that wherever we are, God is with us? Is that amazing? God is with us. And that should, I think of Bart all the times he just prays, Lord, give me opportunities in his restaurant. And he just begins to share the gospel. And then there's times where he can grow discouraged. Well, I don't see anybody becoming a Christian. You know what? Just wait. Wait till we get to heaven and somebody says, Bart, remember when we ate at your restaurant and you shared with us? A lady told me about Jesus on the plane for 8 hours. And she doesn't know what I'm doing today. Zerubbabel and Joshua were discouraged. The people of God were discouraged. Because of their discouragement, they got self-focus in their own personal lives. And Haggai comes and says, don't be discouraged. You seek first the kingdom of God, and everything in your life will be added unto you. I was with Bill Gallatin this past week, and he was telling me about his son, Scott. He was a computer programmer, and they took him to Wall Street, and they took him to the top of the Twin Towers. He was a very gifted, he had worked in a nuclear submarine, and he was a very gifted programmer, and they took him to the top for a job at Wall Street, and in the top of Wall Street, this man, overlooking all of New York, says to him, all this can be yours. think of the, I mean, I can't think, I mean, I think he took him to a higher place than the devil took Jesus, you know? I mean, just took him up there and says, all this can be yours. He had gone through thick and thin. He was restless in his soul. And next thing you know, he got terrified. And he says, I don't want this. I want to serve Jesus. And he's been pastoring the church that his dad pastored for 20-something years. If you saw him as the peace, the joy, the confidence, the ease in the sense of where he's at with the Lord. And the contrast of the restlessness, the fight, all that stuff, all the ambition that he was pursuing. Oh, that we would take this word of God to heart. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Is it time for us to be setting our lives perfectly straight while the house of the Lord lies in ruins? And please understand, I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about the work of the ministry in Mallorca. God has brought you here for a reason. It might just be to be a light in your work. It might just be to serve part-time and develop the website. It might just be to contribute to the sound. It might just be the trendy aspect of it. I don't know if you know what I mean? There's all kinds of aspects that if we get together, it's not that we're not willing. We need to get together and be as one man and make this church everything that God would have it to be. This ministry. Will you take the challenge, as I'm taking the challenge, to say, let's move forward without looking back in our service of Jesus Christ here in Mallorca. Let's allow the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, to have freedom in our life, to be channels in this island for Jesus. That we might be able to bless them with the knowledge of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this time that we got to spend together. And I pray, Lord, that you would stir something in our hearts, Lord, to be able to serve you, to be able to make this church, Lord, and this community, Lord, a place that just oozes your name. That we will be able to be involved in all the things that you would have us do, and that everything that we have here would be done better than we would do it in any other job, Lord, because at the end of the day, we do this for you, Jesus. Lord, stir our hearts, put things on our hearts, and help us to dialogue it together and see where we could go together in order to serve you better in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.